KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 57 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly sunny skies here today with a high of 77. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In Western Iowa news, an Ottawa man charged with shooting his boss as part of a faked burglary has been given 2 years of probation. 24-year-old Bradley Chapman pleaded guilty Monday to a firearms charge. In return, prosecutors dropped two other charges. Chapman also received a deferred judgment, which means that the crime will be removed from his record if he successfully completes the probation. Chapman was charged in the February 5th shooting of Darian Hyber, age 32, of Mapleton. Hyber is accused of having Chapman shoot him in the leg as part of their story that they'd interrupted a burglary at Hyber's business. Hyber has pleaded not guilty to eight charges in the case and is scheduled for trial July 31st. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
The group Iowa Citizens for a Community Improvement, or CCI, is celebrating a victory in what it calls an escalating fight against requests to build large-scale livestock operations in the state. The Union County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously Monday to recommend that the Iowa Department of Natural Resources deny permits for two proposed 5,000-head hog farms. CCI State Policy Director Adam Mason said the Union County vote is one step toward keeping the operations from being built.
Well, now that the Union County supervisors have recommended denial of this site, the DNR will have 30 days to take their recommendation into consideration, review the factory farm construction permit and master matrix, and make their final decision. For us here at CCI, we'll monitor that process. Our members in Union County will monitor that process.
In the larger picture, Mason says they get calls daily about proposed livestock operations. He said the group has recently gotten the plans changed for facilities in Dallas, Floyd, Jefferson, and Story counties. There are ongoing fights against facilities in Poweshiek, Union, and Wright counties.
What we look for here at CCI is a deep sense of commitment amongst the community, of the community coming together in opposition of this. You know, if one person calls CCI, we don't just automatically go out and meet with folks. There has to be a significant number of community members who want to do something about this. What we can do is go out and meet with folks, let them know what has worked in the past to stand up for family farmers and fight back against factory farms.
The vote by the Union County supervisors does not guarantee the DNR will follow its recommendation.
County supervisors and local folks really don't have much of a say, and that's something the legislature did back in 2002 when they created the master matrix. That provides public input, but doesn't give those local folks or the county supervisors final authority, which we would call local control.
He said the supervisors' vote is a positive for residents trying to keep the facilities from being built.
What that means for folks in Union County today is that the DNR will look at this permit application a little bit stronger than they would, but when it comes down to it, the DNR is underfunded and understaffed as well. So while folks come to us a lot of times with not a lot of hope, that's something that we are challenged with every day is fighting back against a lax regulatory structure in a DNR agency which is underfunded and understaffed.
Governor Branstad's spokesman responded to this statement. He said, agriculture is the strength behind Iowa's economic success, and we welcome job-creating pork producers to locate in our state. Governor Branstad believes we must safeguard our environment with common-sense regulations. The regulatory environment remains the same as when Governor Branstad took office, but with the skyrocketing pork prices, it should come as no surprise that producers would expand their operations. The statement went on to say Governor Branstad will continue his efforts for cleaner air and water and believes Iowa's laws should be enforced. The Iowa Department of Transportation, as a courtesy to the Nebraska Department of Roads, has announced that westbound Interstate 80 will be closed at midnight tonight until 5 a.m. Wednesday at the I-80, I-29 interchange in Council Bluffs. The closure is necessary for sign maintenance. Travelers will follow a marked detour utilizing I-29 and I-480. Also Tuesday evening, this evening, the 13th Street entrance and loop ramps to westbound I-80 will be closed beginning at 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. Wednesday morning, June the 13th. Both west and eastbound I-80 will have lane closures between 13th and 20th Streets in Omaha. Employees and staff at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic are preparing for the first stage of their move to the newly completed addition. Officials say this Friday, June the 15th, the emergency department, same-day surgery department, and surgery department will all relocate into their new quarters on the first floor of the addition. The inpatient services, located on the second floor, are scheduled to move on Friday, June 29th. CCMH Administrator Pat Markham said they will be operating out of their old emergency department until the new area is fully operational. Markham says when personnel are ready to move into the new ED, announcements will be made on the radio, the hospital's website, and on signs near the emergency department entrance. She says since the two entrances, both old and new, are very close together, there shouldn't be a whole lot of confusion on where to go. Patients coming to the new emergency department will still use the south ambulance drive. The new ED garage doors will be open automatically when a vehicle approaches, and patients can enter from a door inside the garage. Patients can also park outside the emergency department and enter on foot through the new ED entrance, which is to the right of the temporary entrance that has been in use for the past year. Beginning on Monday, June the 18th, all scheduled surgery patients will register in the new ED admissions room just out inside the ED entrance and utilize the new same-day surgery department and operating rooms. Markham said the procedure really won't be any different than what's been done in the past. She said they'll simply be using the new facilities and equipment. Any patients or visitors who are unsure about how to access any hospital services during the transition period are encouraged to call ahead for clarification or ask any hospital staff member for assistance. Officials of the Iowa Finance Authority, or IFA, say the IFA and Southwest Iowa Association of Realtors, Key Real Estate, and American National Bank will announce later this morning plans to spur regional home sales through the Meaning of Home Ownership contest this summer. The contest is sponsored by the IFA and the Iowa Association of Realtors in conjunction with lenders and realtors throughout the state. We'll have more details on a later newscast. In an update to a story we first posted on KJAN.com Saturday afternoon, the Cass County Sheriff's Office said Monday that it was a Kimbleton man and a 2-year-old boy who were injured during a rollover accident on Highway 173. The crash occurred at 3:25 p.m., about 2 miles north of the intersection with Highway 83. Sheriff Darby McLaren told KJAN News that 34-year-old Joshua Heminger of Kimbleton was traveling southbound on 173 when the 1999 Ford F-150 pickup he was driving went out of control. The vehicle entered the east ditch and rolled several times. Heminger was flown by LifeNet helicopter to Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. A report on his condition is not available, but dispatch reports following the crash indicated he suffered from some head and back trauma. The child was transported by medevac ambulance to the Cass County Hospital, where he was treated for his injuries and released. Barney first responders and officials of the Cass County Sheriff's Department assisted with traffic control at the scene, and Highway 173 was blocked through traffic on Saturday for nearly an hour. Authorities in Polk County say two Council Bluffs men were arrested over the weekend on drug charges. 30-year-old Chandler Robbins and 34-year-old Alan Sutton were taken into custody early Saturday morning following a traffic stop on Interstate 80. Both men faced possession of methamphetamine and conspiracy to deliver meth charges. They were being held in the Polk County Jail on $100,000 bond each. Authorities say a search of the men's vehicle resulted in the recovery of 3 guns, in addition to an unspecified amount of methamphetamine in plastic bags. Taking a look at world news headlines of this hour, a congressional seat is at stake, but Republicans have been trying to make today's election in southern Arizona a referendum on President Obama and his handling of the economy. Voters will be choosing someone to complete the term of Gabrielle Giffords, who resigned in January to focus on her recovery from a gunshot wound to the head. Democrats are hoping that some campaign appearances Gabby made will help Democrat Ron Barber win. He's the former director of Giffords' district office. By day's end, a jury in Washington is expected to be deciding on whether former pitcher Roger Clemens lied under oath to Congress when he denied using performance-enhancing drugs. Jurors will be first hearing closing arguments before weighing the 8 weeks of testimony they've heard. Stock futures are higher today, though investors still appear to be uneasy about what comes next in Europe. Global markets have been repeating patterns that were seen yesterday when relief about a $125 billion lifeline to Spain from the European Union turned into concern that it wouldn't help much. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Kim Sue Farrell, age 49, of Council Bluffs, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Kim Farrell will be this morning at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reacon Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Shane Alexander Kreese, the infant son of Andy Kreese and Megan Albers of Casey, passed away Thursday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Graveside services for Shane Kreese will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Canby Cemetery in rural Casey. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Betty L. Truitt, age 74 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Memorial services for Betty Truitt will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic, with the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Anthony Dole, age 40 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at his home. Funeral services for Anthony Dole will be held tomorrow at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. William Bill Carpenter, age 68 of Atlantic, died Saturday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Bill Carpenter will be held on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Fulmer Pete Nelson, age 90, a longtime resident of rural Anita, died Sunday at the Colonial Manor in Anita. Funeral services for Pete Nelson will be held Thursday at 10 a.m. at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Craig Cummins, age 55, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at his home in Fontenelle. Celebration of life services for Craig Cummins will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle, with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Frank Orville Meyer, Jr., age 86, a longtime business owner and steward, died Saturday at the Panora Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. A visitation tribute for Frank Meyer, Jr. will be held from 6 until 8 p.m. on Thursday at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Bobby Ray Blake, age 57, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Saturday at CCMH. Funeral services for Bobby Blake will be held this Friday at 10:30 at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic, with the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. And Harold W. Kleinpaste, age 92, of Harlan, died Saturday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Services for Harold Kleinpaste are currently pending with the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Henson reporting.